Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, it is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and it is indeed a heck of a morning. We are live on the MMA Fighting Twitter space. You can hear the show in its entirety shortly thereafter on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. What's going on, everybody? I am Mike Heck. Hope you're all having a fantastic start to the week, and folks, we got some stuff to discuss, and I'm not even really talking about what we saw inside the octagon on Saturday, UFC Vegas 88. It happened. It's over, but it happened. But there's a lot of other stuff that has gone on since then. Some news broken. Actually, even happened before that. We've been trying to figure out what is going to happen at UFC 301 when the UFC returns to Brazil, because 299, absolutely stacked. 300 coming up April 13th, absolutely stacked, including just a perfect main event for UFC 301, headlining UFC 300, which is Alex Pereira defending his light heavyweight title against Jamahal Hill. Would have been a perfect main event for 301. It's a fine main event for 300, but it would have been perfect for 301. And then we saw a whole bunch of fights announced, featuring Brazilian fighters on different cards heading into and coming out of UFC 301, including the Renato Moicano Jalen Turner fight, which would have been perfect for 301, but somehow it's on UFC 300. We knew Alexander Pantoja would probably be a part of it, and he is. He's not fighting Muhammad Makhachev. He's not fighting Miguel Kopp. He's not fighting Brandon Royval. He is fighting Steve Urseg for his second title defense of the 125-pound title. And boy, oh boy, did MMA fans and Twitter lose their friggin' minds when this fight was announced. Hands in the air, complaints, all sorts of stuff. I saw all sorts of reactions, DMs across the board, people like, what the fuck is the UFC doing here? Yada, yada, yada. Guys, what did we expect here? Like, seriously, what did we expect here? Sometimes you have to sacrifice certain cards for the growth of others. And Ariel talked about this yesterday, and I could not agree with him more. This is what the people wanted. The people wanted 299 stacked. The people wanted 300 stacked. Everyone wanted all these title fights and the biggest fights the UFC could put together. So if we have to rob Peter to pay Paul, now it's a problem. It's crazy. But Steve Urseg is getting this title shot. I think it's kind of funny for a number of reasons. One, because Steve is not a trash talker at all. He has not said word one about Alexander Pantoja. Even after he got the knockout of Matt Schnell, he called out, I'm pretty sure he called out Brandon Moreno. He wasn't even thinking about a title fight. And he gets into this title shot. And I got to tell you, if Steve Ursig's takedown defense is good, he's got a real chance to win this fight. He's got a real chance to win this fight. So it is what it is, guys. It is what it is. Now, is it the main event? Not 100% sure. Is there a good chance it's the main event? Sure. Perhaps the UFC is looking at UFC 300. Maybe Alex Pereira wins rapidly against Jamahal Hill and takes zero damage and he can turn right back around, which I don't think you really need to do here. But if you think it's going to help boost the card, you could do that. But who would he fight? Who would he fight? Is he going to fight the Jiří Rakic winner who are fighting on the same card? Are those guys going to be able to turn around real quick? Like, are we just going to rush a fight together to get Pereira on that card? So there's a lot going on here. I also think it's funny that one of the things that I thought of was you got guys like Roy Val is yelling for a title shot. Marab is yelling for a title shot. Bilal Muhammad is yelling for a title shot. Not only is Bilal Muhammad yelling for a title shot, but like everybody associated with Bilal Muhammad, all yelling for Bilal Muhammad to get a title shot. Everyone associated with Marab, all yelling for Marab to get a title shot. And nobody on Steve Ursig's team or Steve Ursig himself asked for a title fight and he walks into a title fight. Boy, what a world we all live in. But that is UFC 301. That's the title fight. That is not the only thing happening at UFC 301 because we also confirmed that Jose Aldo is coming back. He's coming out of retirement, already in the Hall of Fame. He's coming back at UFC 301. And he's fighting Jonathan Martinez, the silence behind the violence. That fight going down May 4th in Brazil. We're going to hear Run This Town tonight. People are going to lose their freaking minds. The King of Rio fighting in Rio against Jonathan Martinez. Great to have Aldo back. A lot of people were puzzled by the matchmaking here. I saw some rumors. A lot of people going crazy in regards to maybe Dominic Cruz taking this fight. We talked about this a little bit over the weekend. From people I spoke to, it just seemed like it was a kind of like an idea on Twitter that just kind of got ramped up. And then there were some other, you know, quasi reports or whatever that, you know, it was Brazil and Cruz didn't want to take it. And who knows if that's actually true. These are just going by the conversations I had. We didn't like officially report this stuff. Even Damon said he talked to Jonathan Martinez and he said Jonathan found out last Friday about this fight. I had been told it was actually a little bit after that, but doesn't matter really because we're getting this fight at UFC 301. And what an opportunity is for the silence behind the violence. Again, a guy who didn't ask for Jose Aldo. Damon also said during that tweet when he got called last Friday about this fight is he didn't know. He said who? Because he didn't think it was the Jose Aldo. So he was thrown off by this as much as everybody else was. But that is happening. That is happening. We are coming off UFC Vegas 88 as well. If you guys hear some noise, we're getting a new HVAC system installed in the new house, so it could get a little noisy, so bear with us. But we're coming off UFC Vegas 88. Tai Tuivasa suffers another stoppage loss, this time to Marcin Tybura. We'll see where he goes from here. Some things happened. Some fights occurred inside the world's most famous Apex. And guess what? More fights are going to occur inside the world's most famous Apex this Saturday. A little bit later than the start time of UFC Vegas 88, we got the main event, Amanda Ribas against Rose Namajunas, the former strawweight champion. Co-main event, boy, shout out AK. This is a penultimate fight. I don't even know what we're calling this, but Carl Williams has found himself in a penultimate fight at the world's most famous Apex. He will take on Justin Taffa. Edmund Shahbazyan is back against AJ Dobson, Peyton Talbot, Cameron Simon. Fun one between some of the surging up-and-coming bantamweight prospects. We got Billy Q back. He's welcoming back Yusuf Salal to the UFC and some other fun fights as well. 7 p.m. prelims Eastern Standard Time and 10 p.m. main card. Six fights. Going to be a long night. So let's hear what you all have to say about all the stuff going on in the wonderful world of mixed martial arts. We will start with Maran. Go ahead, Maran. Maran. Oh, Do we have you now? Unmute yourself. I think we might have you. Aaron, are you there? You would be muted. How about now?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you? Okay.
Good, I'm good.
So I have a question regarding Cody. So what if he just goes there and knock out maybe Figueiredo in the first round or second? Where do you see him in a title picture in the future?
Who is this? I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Who is this?
Cody. Cody, No Love Garbrandt.
Cody Garbrandt, okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir.
He just goes there and knock out Figueiredo in the first or second round. Where do you see him? Based on his star, he's obviously bigger than Merov.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah, I had an answer up until yesterday. I felt pretty good about the answer up until yesterday because I thought the winner of that fight would probably go on to fight Piotr Jan. But as we found out yesterday, Piotr Jan probably ain't making a fight anytime soon. Let me pull up the tweet just so I know we wrote it up on MMA Fighting as well. Piotr Jan tweets out yesterday morning, literally just about 24 hours from now, like previously. Piotr Jan tweets, and I quote, "So MRI confirmed ACL rupture, meniscus tear, and groin injury. Surgery is scheduled for tomorrow, which will be today. Nothing will break me. I'm determined to come back stronger than ever in no time." That's a tough loss right there. And first of all, let me just say this. Shout out to Piotr Jan for fighting the way he did, especially in that third round with all of those injuries against Song Yadong, and then winning the fight, clearly winning the fight. Craziness, absolute craziness. So now it kind of leaves a hole right now. So I would say, man, it's tough to say. It really is. Just kind of like looking at what's available in the rankings. Maybe Henry Cejudo, maybe Marlon Vera, Cheeto, maybe the winner gets Cheeto. I don't hate either of those fights, if we're being honest. So I think, yeah, that's probably the answer. I think the winner, with Jan out of the picture, probably for the next year or so, it's either Cejudo or Vera. It all depends on what they're going to do with Cejudo. Is Cejudo going to fight Brandon Moreno next? Is he just going to fight whoever they offer him? You could do Vera Cejudo. So it's kind of a mess right now without Jan in there, but if Cody Garbrandt goes out there and knocks out Davison Figueiredo, he is in the conversation. That's for sure. So he's in the mix right now. He somehow found his way in the mix by getting victories over guys who aren't even ranked right now. Got the knockout victory over Brian Kelleher and then the kind of tepid decision against Trevin Jones. But boy, what a big step up from Brian Kelleher. And I love me some Brian Kelleher, but it's a big step up to go from Brian Kelleher to Trevin Jones to Brian Kelleher to Davison Figueiredo. And Figgy looked incredible against Rob Font in his bantamweight debut. So we'll see how it all plays out. But if Cody wins, he's certainly in a great position. CV, good morning. CV. All right. Yeah, we lost you.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's go to Trevor. Trevor, are you there?
Hope everything's going well.
Good morning, sir.
I got a real quick question about Jose Aldo's return. I have a love-hate relationship with these legends returning. Part of me, you know, is excited about them returning. Then the other half is I'm wondering if it's a cash grab, if they're still in the mental or physical capacity that they used to be. We know the success of lighter weight, older contenders. I feel like Jose Aldo is mid-40s, but he's 37. Is this, in your mind, just a quick cash grab? Does he need to do this? Or is this something that we're going to see? Is Jose Aldo back? Does he have fights planned going forward? I know he's towards the end of his contract. Is he wanting to fight this out and maybe go into boxing? What's your thoughts on that? And I also see that AK's in here. Happy birthday, AK. Go Cats.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it, honestly. I don't know if Aldo is I think from like what I understand, and don't quote me on this, and I think Ariel sort of touched on this yesterday, I believe Aldo only has one fight left on his deal. So if he wants to pursue boxing, continue to pursue boxing, or you know, pursue other opportunities, whether it be in MMA or, you know, other disciplines or what have you, he has to get permission from the UFC in order to do that. So if he fights out this last deal, this last fight on its deal, I mean, then he's an official free agent. So if he wants to do big things, if he wants to go to another organization, if he wants to do all sorts of different things, he doesn't need the UFC's permission anymore because he will be out of contract. Now, who knows? Maybe he sees what bantamweight looks like. Maybe he sees Sean O'Malley as the bantamweight champion, and maybe he feels like he could beat Sean O'Malley. I don't know. We haven't really heard from Jose Aldo yet. But that's would be my guess, is that he just wants to forego that middleman that is the UFC. Like if, I don't know, Misfits is doing a card, or, you know, Gamebred does the boxing events and he's asked to do it, or maybe he's asked to be on like a different card or something, rather than have to go through the UFC and all that, he can just go do it. And that would be my guess as to why he's just doing this fight. Let's just get this last fight done. Let's fulfill the obligation. And then we'll just be free and we can do whatever we want. But that would be my hunch. But again, without hearing from Jose, we don't really know for sure. But hopefully we get to hear from him soon. King Cat, hello. I'm not hearing you. King Cat, maybe bounce out and bounce back in, see if that works. How about MM Anfield Road 305? Do we have you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, heck of a morning, Mike. Two questions for you. One, I think it would be pretty controversial at this point, but do you think the UFC would consider, in order to save 301, to actually push back Oliveira Armon just because 300 already is getting criticized and they need something to boost 301? I know it's controversial, but it just seems like the winner of that fight's not going to fight Islam till the end of the year anyway, given how Poirier did anyway. And the second question, Cyril Gane, we haven't heard from in quite a while. I think you've already mentioned it makes sense. Aspinall, if he fights Blades again, we've already talked about kind of Jailton fighting Tybura. Does it make sense that Gon fights Pavlovich? Obviously, both guys like stand-up. Could be a nice headliner if the UFC's planning on going back to France. I don't know if you've heard anything about that. Or even a co-main if they go to Spain later in the year. So just want to get your thoughts on that.
Thank you, sir. To answer your first question, no. I think it's too late now. 300 is like 3 weeks away. So I don't think they're gonna move it. Fight's way too important to just bump it unless, like, I don't know. We saw Charles and Beneil get bumped, but that's because Charles or somebody got injured. I forget who it was. It was one of the two. And they just bumped it back because the injury was, I think it was Charles who got hurt, but it wasn't like a long term injury that he needed a lot of recovery from. So that'd probably be the only way. But other than that, like, I don't think he can move it. That fight to me, at least this is just my point of view. That fight is too important to UFC 300. That might be, I mean, I know we have title fights and all that, but in terms of like fights I am personally interested in, I love me some Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill. I do have some problems with it only because I kind of feel, I just don't know how healthy Jamal Hill is. I don't know if we're getting Jamal Hill at 100%. Hell, if they were doing it 301, I still don't know if we're getting Jamal Hill at 100%. And I know most fighters aren't 100%, but when we're talking about the injury that he had, it takes most people a year just to like recover to get back into the gym to start preparing for a fight. This dude's going to be walking in the cage like 9 months after rupturing his Achilles. That's a painful ass injury. It takes a long time. So I do have questions about that. Who knows? Maybe it ends up being a barn burner and it all works out and all the questions are answered. But in terms of like fights that I am personally interested in, I love Gaethje Holloway. I just think it's going to be a banger. But man, Sarukian versus Oliveira, I am so interested in. That is a huge selling point for this card for me. Gigantic. And I think if you move it to 301, I get why you would do it, but you don't need to do it. You don't need to. This card is what it is, guys. It is. You're getting Jose Aldo back. Yes, it's against Jonathan Martinez. I think it's going to be a pretty fun fight. We're getting a title fight. They can't all be winners, guys. They just can't. There's going to have to be a kind of poo-poo pay-per-view mixed in somewhere after you stack the deck so big. And plus, you got two pay-per-views coming up in June. They're going to be doing International Fight Week in June. I don't think they need to move anything. It's certainly not that fight. The only way I would be okay with it, and I wouldn't be, but if there was any way you could do it where I could be like, okay, this is like, I still hate it, but I'm still somewhat intrigued by it, is if they move it to 301 and it's a 5-round co-main event. Other than that, I hate it 100%. So just keep it at 300. Just keep it at 300 and we'll be good. And then Ciryl Gane. Yeah, it was Ciryl Gane. Yeah, I think it's Pavlovich. I think he's going to have to fight Pavlovich. Boy, has Ciryl Gane just dropped the ball, man. He dropped the ball right after that win over Sergey Spivak. This whole, I shouldn't have to fight Pavlovich. I shouldn't have to fight Aspinall. I should just get a title fight. Oh, he bungled that so bad. And now he's, rather than just calling out Sergey, just think about what he could have accomplished. If he had gone out of that fight, gotten in the cage, and just called out Sergey Pavlovich, in like just a fun way, like not like a Sergey, you're a piece of shit, but more like, yeah, Sergey, everyone thinks you're the big bad dude. You got to fight me to prove that. Sergey, Ciryl Gane could have gotten himself in that interim title fight at Madison Square Garden. If he just did that, Ciryl Gane might have gotten the title shot. Ciryl Gane might be the interim heavyweight champion right now. Just think about that. But he didn't do that. And then he became an afterthought, and Tom Aspinall got slotted in that opportunity. And now he's the freaking interim champion. So he has bungled this badly, just not good. And now he's going to end up fighting Sergey anyways. Will it be in Paris? Maybe. But that's the fight he's going to get. That's the offer he's going to get. That's the best he can do right now. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, don't do what Ciryl Gane did, aspiring fighters. Don't do that. CV, are you there?
Yo, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yo, heck of a morning. Just two quick questions for me. Just to add on to the Alex Pereira discussion there, I read an article from somewhere saying that he signed like a clause where like if he's able to come out to fight against Jamahal Hill like pretty healthy, which I highly doubt, that he's guaranteed to fight in 301 in Rio. What do you think about that, and who do you think he'll fight? Like, do you think he'll fight Ankalaev? And one more thing, what are your thoughts on Anthony Smith firing shots at the great Neil Magny? Thanks.
We'll start with the Pereira thing. I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know. Could it be Ankalaev? Has the UFC like reached out to Ankalaev and said like, hey, dude, be ready for May 4th? Is he already planning to fight on that card against somebody else? Maybe they do like, I was going to say, like the only one that would make sense is him and Johnny Walker, but they freaking fought twice already. Are they going to be like, hey, you fight Philippe Lins? But if not, you fight for the belt? Like how are they approaching this with Ankalaev or anybody else for that matter? Because whoever that is, you have to already have reached out to them and said, hey, if Pereira gets out of there unscathed, we're going to rebook him for 301. And he's going to fight you and defend the title against you. I don't know. Again, I don't think you need it. I don't think you need it. I would rather, unless Pereira just annihilates Jamahal Hill in like 30 seconds. He lands one leg kick and Hill goes down in a heap. Other than that, like it doesn't need to happen. It just, the card is what it is. Maybe do, I don't know, Khalil Roundtree? That'd be fun as hell. But long story short, I'll say maybe, but he's going to have to just wreck Jamahal Hill in seconds for that to even be possible. Do you want to see Alex Pereira like turn around on 3 weeks' notice after a bloody battle with Jamahal Hill? I sure as hell don't. I want to see Alex Pereira fight when he's like at his peak, or the closest to that peak that he could possibly be. So I'm not really sure. And then the Anthony Smith thing, like Anthony was just fired up. I don't think he meant it as like an insult. Like, we all view Neil, like, let's be honest here, guys. We all view Neil Magny the same way. Neil Magny is a litmus test into the top 15 at welterweight. We will know if you are going to rise up the ranks. We will know if you're going to be a guy that could possibly contend for a title if you beat Neil Magny. If you beat Neil Magny, you are good, and you are going to get some big fights. If you can't beat Neil Magny, then it ain't for you. So I don't think Anthony Smith was, because Anthony kind of views himself higher than that. Like he's more of a, you know, you don't fight me and beat me in order to prove you're a top 15 guy. Anthony looks at himself like, no. If you beat me, like you're going off to fight for a title. Like it's a top 5 litmus test as opposed to a top 15. But I don't think Anthony's saying anything that any of us would say. He didn't say Neil Magny sucks. But like when we think of litmus tests, when we think of quote unquote gatekeepers in MMA, the first name that pops into your mind is Neil Magny. He's been that guy forever. So I don't know. Anthony's getting a lot of shit for that, but I think it's a little wild that he is getting so much shit for that. King Cat, do we have you now?
Okay. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, I can.
All right. Did you hear anything I said before?
I did not. It didn't even connect.
Okay. I don't know what's going on, but glad it's working now. So, you know, we're looking out to 300, which everybody's looking forward to. My question to you is, looking at the next three events, So we got the one this weekend with Amanda and Rose. We got the one coming up in with Fiore and Blanchfield. And then Chris Curtis is replacing, I forgot who it was, but anyway, Allen. What do you think about this lead up to 300? Just looking at the fight cards, like not necessarily even saying, you know, obviously Atlantic City is better because it's not in the apex, but just looking at the fights, which one do you think is the best fight card? And then what do you just think about the events that we have leading up to, like, you know, one of the biggest fight cards ever? Thanks, Mike.
All right. So let's look, I mean, Saturday's card is not good. Like, there's fun. Again, I kind of look at it almost in the same lens as Vegas 88, where there's potential for some fun scraps, but outside of the main event, there are no stakes at all. Like, zero. Zero stakes. There's fun fights, but none of the, outside of a second paycheck, these guys aren't fighting for, these guys and gals really aren't fighting for anything outside of the main event. And you know me, I like stakes, I like storylines, I like good fights too, but you need more. You need more to round this out. So that's World's Most Famous Apex card one. Then we'll go, actually this isn't, all right, then we'll go to Atlantic City. I don't know if you guys saw, tickets are not flying for Atlantic City right now, because let's be honest, this is kind of a tough one for a spend all this money to come to our event card. Main event's good. Aaron Blanchfield, Amanda Fiore should be a number one contender fight. But even then, like, the life kind of got sucked out of that fight in some regard when they announced that Alexa Grasso and Valentina Shevchenko are coaching Tough. Because that means we have to go through the whole season of Tough before these two fight again. And most people seem to think, and I have no insight to this whatsoever, but most people are predicting that that fight's going to happen when they do the Sphere. That's September. So whatever happens here, both of these women potentially could be on ice for the rest of the year, because whoever wins this fight ain't fighting anybody else unless it's for the belt, unless it's Erin Blanchfield and like somehow Juliana Pena wins the Bantamweight title and Kayla Harrison isn't like ready to go. Erin might feel like she wants to just go up to 35 and fight for that belt, which, why the hell not? We could go ahead and do something like that. But that announcement of the Tough coaches kind of sucked the life out of the fight to some degree. But it is still a very good main event, and there's a lot there. Vicente Luque no longer fighting Sean Brady. He's fighting Joaquin Buckley. Not a lot there. Like, there's not a lot of stakes to that fight. It's, I mean, obviously, it's a low-risk, high-reward fight for Joaquin Buckley. And it's a high-risk, low-reward fight for Vicente Luque. Verna Jandiroba, Lupi Godinez, fine fight. Fine fight. Bruno Silva, Chris Weidman. Obviously, a lot of questions about Chris Weidman on this comeback from that horrendous injury. Had the fight with Brad Tavares. Didn't go his way. Bruno Silva is an animal, so we'll see how that plays out. We got Ruud Zabov against Dumas. We've seen Dumas kind of getting some issue, have some trouble. We don't even know what's going to happen there. And then it's just like, no, not great fights. I mean, just local flair, I guess. Like Andre Petrosky, Jacob Malkoon, fine. Connor Matthews, who I like a lot, versus Dennis Bazooka, local guy. Angel Pacheco, Colin Lochran, Chidi and Njokuani, Reese McKee, Julio Arce, Herbert Burns, that's fun. We got Nate Landwehr, Jamal Emmers. Like, that's fun. Like, it's just, it's an, it, this is an, this is a, if we're going to bring out the fart scale that we're trying to build here, at least Jed and Shaheen are, it's not a high one, even for like an Apex card. Like, it's a fine Apex card. It's a decent Apex card. It's not a great roadshow card. But, and I know AK, the Pleasure Man's fighting on the card too. That is also happening. And then we go to Apex 90. Brandon Allen was supposed to fight Marvin Vettori. He gets the rematch with Chris Curtis. So Brandon Allen gains, outside of just exercising some demons, he gains nothing from beating Chris Curtis. And Chris Curtis could take everything away from Brendan Allen. So it's another one of those fights, kind of like Vicente Luque, Joaquin Buckley, but a little bit higher scale. Norma Dumont welcoming back Jermaine Durandamy. I am intrigued by that. And then we got Alexander Hernandez versus Damon Jackson. Alatang A. Lee versus Victor Hugo. Charlie Campbell's back against Trevor Peak. Jesus Christ. That fight's going to be insane. Lucas Bresky versus Johnny Walker's brother, Valter. Ignacio Baja Mondays, Christos Giagos. Melissa Mullins is back against Nora Cornole. Cynthia Calvillo fighting probably for her career against Pierre Rodriguez. What else we got here? Morgan Charrier, Chepe Mariscal. It's a good fight. It's a pretty – I wish we could, like, make some trades. Trade some of these fights to the AC card and then trade some of the fights from the AC card over to this one. This one isn't bad. This one isn't bad. Top to bottom, this might be the best card of the three, just from, like, start to finish. But – I don't know. We're just going to be – the unfortunate part, especially with that Allen Curtis card, is that no one's going to care. We're all – even if it is a pretty solid lineup, we're just – we're looking so past that card and just looking at 300. We're just like, get us over this card so we can start 300 fight week. But this one's actually not bad. AC's okay. Saturday's outside of the main event. Some fun fights, but very little on the line. But by the time we get to April 7th, we're not even going to care anyways. It's on to 300.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
What's up, Mark? Heck of a morning. I just want to discuss about the cards that are upcoming, you know, in May and June. I'm speaking of the pay-per-view particularly. You know, firstly, with the Brazil card, I really think they absolutely fumbled, you know, building this card up in terms of, you know, just getting guys like Barbosa, Johnny Walker, and Costa. I mean, that was really all they needed. You know, like Costa could have, they could have done like Costa versus, you know, Imavov or, you know, Dolidze, you know, Edson Barbosa versus like Giga Chikidze, you know, one of those guys in the top 10. And, you know, for Johnny Walker, I guess just anyone who's, like, ranked in the top 10 and available, you know, even the unranked fighter. But it is what it is, you know. I think this just – we just have to live with it as fans. I'm definitely excited for the Aldo fight. I can't wait to see how he still fares up after that, you know, two-year retirement he's had since 278. And, you know, considering the fact that he actually did perform well, contrary to what, you know, many fans believe, like, he stuffed every takedown that Merab threw at him. And I think he even won the first round, if I'm not mistaken. He was doing well in the second round until he gassed out. So I'm looking forward to that fight. But, you know, also just to add on to the convo with the UFC making these cards, do you expect UFC 302 and 303 to be super stacked up, or they'll kind of just balance it out with maybe, say, one, two big fights and the rest are just kind of, you know, hardcore fights that only the hardcore fans would know about? That's what I have. Have a great day.
So, yeah, Aldo coming back is fun. But I'm just curious what it all means. Is it just him fighting out his deal so he can move on and never fight in the UFC again? Okay. But is he coming back to like make a run because he sees Sean O'Malley as champion and thinks he can get there? These are questions we just don't have answers to. And yes, he was fine in the Merab fight. I hated the booking anyways because they should have just given Jose Aldo the freaking title fight to begin with. At that point in his career, there was all these rumors that he was going to retire after that fight if he lost anyways. They should have just given him the freaking title fight. But I digress. And on top of that, you give him a Merab, which is fine, but you do it in altitude? Of course he's going to gas. I don't care who you are. You're going to gas in that altitude, unless you're Merab, who's an absolute friggin' animal. So just one of the poorest pieces of booking I can remember. I was very upset about that matchmaking. Mostly because it was in freaking Utah. And Aldo should have just gotten the freaking title shot to begin with. But I digress. And then with 302 and 303, 303 is going to be stacked because it's International Fight Week. So they're going to stack the shit out of that one. Which means if that card's going to get stacked up, someone has to lose. And I kind of feel like 301's going to lose. I don't think it's going to be like a terrible card. But guys, the same thing happened last year. Same thing, right? 280, just think about what we got last year. January pay-per-view was awful. It was awful. We got a damn good fight. Moreno and Figgy was a good fight. Jamal Hill had a great performance, but the rest of the card, forgettable. Super forgettable. This year, 297, pretty awful card. We did get a really good main event. One of the closest fights you'll ever see. But the rest of the card was pretty awful. February, Volkanovski. Told you it was going to get a little noisy. We got Volk Teporia this year. We got Volk Islam last year. Significant moments that we're still talking about. March, last year we got John Jones coming back. We got two pay-per-views in March because Leon Edwards fought Kamaru Usman. We got Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. Fun-ass cards. April, stacked. Miami, we got Izzy Pereira. That whole card was great. This year, April was great as well, back in Miami. Or March, excuse me. April's obviously 300, so it's a little different on the timeline. But then we get to May and June, and they were like kind of throwaway cards. Sterling Cejudo, fight nobody asked for, but we got it. We had Charles and Beneil, they moved that, and we get the ridiculous, let's throw Gilbert Burns and Bilal Muhammad in there for five rounds on 10 days notice, because boy, that's a great idea, which is a terrible idea. That was a throwaway card. And then June, they went to Canada, and it was, yeah, we got Oliveira and Dariush like rebooked for that card, but Amanda Nunes, Irene Aldana, like kind of a throwaway card. Fun, but there weren't like a lot of big names on that. There's going to be stretches of time where we're going to get these cards. So I think 301 is going to be what it is. 302 is going to kind of be what it is. Not sure what the main event's going to be. Could they do Bilal again in Newark, getting booed out of the building? Sure. Could they do him and Leon? Possible. I don't know. But if that's the main event, I don't expect that card to be like spectacular. But we'll see. So long story short, 302 will be okay. 303 will be great. Because I do think Connor and Chandler's gonna fight on that card. But we'll see how it all rolls. Let's go to Yusuf. Yusuf, do we have you? You're muted, so you just gotta unmute yourself. Yusuf, do we have you? 3, 2, 1. Do we have you? Try again. We'll get you in. You just make sure you unmute yourself once I call upon you. Cole, do we have you?
You got me, Mike. What's up, buddy? Good morning. I'll kind of give you the hot tag to talk about the Aspinall-Jones interaction, but God, I feel like Chael Sonnen with my point here. what? Like, I get what Tom's trying to do with this the shoulder thing that he did to Pavlovich. But what are we doing here? Like, if John wouldn't have batted his arm off of his shoulder, how long is that arm on his shoulder? And, like, when does he take it off? That's just the most awkward. I don't even know what's going on there. I mean, I get he's trying to, like, alpha him or something to that. Maybe it's some UK thing. What the hell? And is that his injured shoulder, too? That's all I got.
I just didn't think anything of it. I could honestly, I could care less. Those two guys went face to face. I don't care. I truly do not care. Because it means nothing. Right now, it means absolutely nothing. There was no pushing, no shoving. They seemed very respectful. They took a freaking photo together. Yeah, there was the moment with the shoulder. But who gives a fuck, honestly? I honestly don't care about any of it. Tom, I mean, he ends up in the same place as John. Cool, like you have your moment, fine. But who cares? Those two dudes aren't fighting each other anytime soon. They may never fight each other. I don't know. It's just a weird moment. And I kind of hated it for Tom. Because he needs to forget about John. Like, all together. I know they're in, like, the same place at the same time. So you just have that, like, kind of moment. You hope it catches fire. And I think, you know, some people were talking about it. But I don't think he got, like, the viral moment he had hoped for. Tom needs to forget about John right now. Until John comes a call, and for him, he needs to act like John Jones doesn't exist, and he needs to act like John Jones' title means nothing. He needs to act like John Jones' title is the interim belt. He is the heavyweight champion of the world. That's what he needs to do. Forget about John. Forget about Stipe. Go fight Curtis Blaydes. Defend your title. And just defend that belt like it's the real thing. That's what he needs to do. So I was kind of disheartened by it to some extent, but I get where he's coming from. I also don't think he got what he wanted out of it, because I think once you saw like the full video and everything and saw the full context of it, it was just like, okay, two guys saw each other. They exchanged pleasantries. They took a photo together, and then they went and did their own thing. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. So there you go. Focus on Curtis Blaydes, Tommy Aspinall. Go defend that belt. Run up some defenses. Treat it like it's the real belt. And then if you do that, you run off some defenses, you make the fan base as a whole believe you are the heavyweight champion of the world, you're not the interim champion, John will come calling then. But you can't call him. He's got to call you, and you got to let it happen. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, who gives a shit? You're going to end up being the champion anyways. So just let it go. Let it go. And that's it. All right. I think we're done here. We will be back on Thursday. We'll do it again. We'll hopefully have things to discuss. We'll have BTL as well. I haven't decided yet. Because I have announcements to make on Thursday. I have some announcements to make on Thursday that I think you guys are going to like. So I'm deciding whether or not to do it here or on BTL. But it's going to happen on one of the shows. That's for sure. Some big announcements in terms of some cool things we're going to be doing for UFC 300. The build up to that card. I think you guys are going to like it. But I'm going to announce those. I'm going to announce some of that stuff on Thursday. So stay tuned. But I just don't know when I'm going to do it yet. So it'll be fun. A lot going on with 300. More announcements to come. And also be on the lookout for the Swing Rounds debut on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel, playing golf with one platinum Mike Perry. We're putting it all together. The plan is it's either going to drop Thursday or it's going to drop a week from today. So within the next 7 days, that is going to drop. We just want to make sure it is perfect. It is the way we want it. I have a specific vision for this, as does the rest of the team. And the editing process, we want to make sure we get it right. So moving forward, once we start filming these, I think we'll be able to pump them out a little bit quicker. But this is the first one. We want to make sure it's like the best it can possibly be before we show it to the world. And it is fun as hell. Like, I watched the latest draft that got put together. Some tweaks needed to be put on it. Just little ones, but it is a fun ass watch. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it once that drops sometime within the next week. And I think you're going to love it. So back on Thursday, right around the same time. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. And as always, have a heck of a morning, everybody.
Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.